that one. Excuse me, sweetheart. We do not need to reserve our praise for heaven. You can go ahead and start any day, right? And every day. There will be plenty of time to praise in heaven as well. That's going to be exciting. Praise the Lord. Hey, good morning. It's good to see you. Some of you haven't seen since before we went on vacation, and glad to see you here this morning. Wonderful, love worshiping with you, and love it when the Lord moves. I want to say, kind of by way of report, but also beyond that, I want to say thank you to everybody who helped with VBS and make that a huge success. Can we give Pastor Brandy, can we give her a round of applause? She put all that together. Thank you, Pastor Brandy. I know you worked long and hard on that, and appreciate all the organization and asking folks for help and getting everything situated. I want to thank others of you for coming and helping. If you were here last Sunday, you saw that the place was transformed. I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't like it this way after that. This is kind of plain. I want to do something to these walls. But I want to report to you that we had, if our calculations are correct, we had 97 children here all week. That was the total number. Yeah. So we rejoice in that. I had the wonderful privilege of praying with probably just a little over 20 of them to ask Jesus into their heart. I suspect that some of them have done that before. Listen. It's moving in the right direction still. Is there one way to heaven? Yes, but it kind of takes many paths, if you know what I'm saying. Not every story is the same, right? I know that I was in the altar a whole bunch of times, and that's why I encourage you to be in the altars. Matter of fact, when our worship leaders open up the altars, you can pretend that it's just as if I was doing it. And so I just want to encourage you. And you may not have been there today, and that's okay. But this morning, as we get ready to jump into the Word of God, first scripture we're going to go to is Psalm chapter 40 and verse 17. Excuse me, my mouth is dry. I think I'm nervous this morning about this message. It makes sense in my head. I don't know how well I'm going to be able to articulate it. But I want to share with you this morning. We'll read this verse in verse 17 of chapter 40. As for me, since I am poor and needy, and that's the title of this message this morning, poor and needy. As for me, since I am poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in his thoughts. Now that's a pretty neat thought, isn't it? You are my helper and my savior. Oh my God, do not delay. Now, the author here is basically, this, he's writing down a prayer and he's saying, God, I'm poor and needy. I need you to help. I need you to come. And please don't take very long. Anybody ever been there? And today I want to help us to understand that the poor and needy, I don't believe that the poor in the scripture normally or is always dealing with financial wealth. Do you know that you can have very, very little and be the richest person on earth? Because nobody's got anything on you. You love Jesus with your whole heart. You're free, like we talked about last Sunday. And that is that causes you to be rich. And so I want to kind of help us this morning to understand that the poor and needy is not just somebody who doesn't have a lot of money. Because you know what? We're all needy at times, right? And I propose today through this message that really every day we're needy, every one of us. Even if we have a relationship with Jesus already, we're needy. We need him every single day. We've got to have him. So in that regard, every one of us is poor and needy on a daily basis. While at the same time, if we have that relationship with him, we are also rich. Is that making any sense? I hope that you're able to follow my train of thought there. And then we're going to look at verse 31 of chapter 109 of the Psalms. For he stands beside the needy. Wow. Ready to save them from those who condemn them. Maybe you're in a place where you're like, oh, Pastor, this is for me today. Yeah, I've been feeling poor and needy. Maybe you even said that to the Lord. God, I feel so needy. He's standing beside you. He's standing right there beside you, ready to save, ready to pick you up. What did he do with Peter when he walked on the water? If you'll remember, there was a storm that came up, and Peter was like, Jesus was walking on the boat toward them, going to meet them out there. And I don't know why Peter said, hey, Jesus, if that's really you, why don't you tell me to come and walk on the water too? Because he knew he needed that authority, I guess. But I don't think I would have thought about that. What about you? But he did. And Jesus said, all right, come on out here. Peter walks on the water, which would have been pretty cool. And then he kind of got distracted, didn't he? He got distracted by the waves, the wind, and realized, oh my goodness, if I fall, if the floor of faith gives way, I could drown. And guess what happens? He starts to sink. Guess who was right there? Jesus grabs him and pulls him up out of there, didn't he? Pulled him up out of the water. Pretty neat story. And so I want to encourage you this morning that no matter where you're at, Jesus is right there with you. We know that. He said at the end of the Great Commission, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Right? I'm not going anywhere. He went to heaven, but now he's with us. Through his Holy Spirit, he's with us every single day. Can you always feel him? No, because it's not about feelings. It's about faith, isn't it? Anybody have faith? Raise your hand. I have faith, okay? Ready to save, ready to rescue, ready to come in and be and help you and help you move in his direction. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 9. Excuse me, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Sometimes when we're needy, it's because there's some kind of trouble going on in life. Anybody ever experienced any of those? Of course, right? And I'm not here to tell you that because you serve Jesus, you're not going to experience any troubles. Matter of fact, I think the opposite is true. Because guess what? If you follow Jesus, you have an enemy. His name is Satan. Otherwise known as the devil. And he hates your guts. Why? I think because we can be redeemed and he cannot. But regardless, we're gonna face troubles. Some of the time that neediness is gonna be based out of troubles and trials that we experience and that we go through. But here we find that God is gonna be a refuge in those times of trouble again, because he's gonna be right there next to us. He's gonna be walking with us. And as I've said before, maybe even carrying us through it. Okay, you're not gonna make it here. Throw us up on his shoulder like a sack of taters and move us through it. Okay, but it has to do with us understanding our need for him. Because let's face it, how many of us can live this life on our own? I've heard many Christians over the years say statements like this: I don't know how people live without Christ. I don't know how I used to do it. Can you imagine living without him now? I don't want to. He's awesome. He's our whole world. And that's the thrust of it, that we're poor and needy and we need him, and he's the answer. He is wonderful. And no matter what troubles we go through, he's there. He's with us, and he wants to help us through that. And I like this next verse, Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15. After this one, we're going to step out of the Psalms and look at a few other verses. But this one, I enjoy this. Then call on me when you are in trouble or when you're poor and needy and you feel overwhelmed like that. He says, call on me when you're in trouble and I will rescue you. There it is again. And look at this. And you will give me glory. Amen. How? How would it be that you would give him glory because he had to come and rescue you? It's real simple, church. We just did it a few minutes ago. Thank you, Jesus. You rescued me again. You saved me. You came down, you stooped down, you bent down, and you picked me up. And how do we give him glory? It's by us turning around and saying, hey, thanks. I praise you for it. You're awesome. Doesn't he do it all the time? I think sometimes we get too, we're so accustomed to it, we don't even turn back and give him any praise for it. We get used to the blessings. Let us not be blind to the blessings, but let us be able to see that and then return praise to God. Isn't that good? On this note, I think praise is super duper important. I think that whenever we're in trouble, I think we should call upon God like the psalmist does right here. But I think on the good days, we need to call on him too. The good days. The days where it seems like there's no trouble in the world. There's nothing hindering. I think on those days, we still need to come before him and spend time with him, worship him, give him honor, give him praise. Don't you? Because he's not just there on days that we are difficult and that we need him. He's there with us every single day. And so let's make sure that we turn and give God praise and we keep coming back to him. Because we've got to have him. Because again, we're poor and needy, even on the good days. Even when we don't really need anything. We still need him. We still need his grace. We still need his mercy. We still need his love poured out on us, right? Because that's probably why the day is so good. I hope it's making sense. Then you'll call on me when you're in trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. I like that. Anybody want to give God glory?
Amen.
Listen, we do that in our prayer closet. When we turn back and say, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for doing such and this. May you also give God glory for doing it when nobody else can hear, but also in times like these when other people are around. You know what? You can set the tone and show people who don't know what it's about yet and don't know what it looks like to give God praise. You can show them how to do that in a setting like this or in many other settings. So, what a wonderful privilege that is. And we're going to turn now to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 3, you all know this as one of the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Excuse me. I like this. This verse, and along with the other verses, the other Beatitudes around it. This one again. This poor is not just not having much money or many material things. This poor is those who realize. Really, it's that simple. It's those who realize that they need Jesus. That's me. And. You know what, if you're listening to this online or maybe somebody said this to you before, I've heard it said that people who don't serve Christ, they think that Christianity is just a crutch. And I say absolutely correct. Jesus is my crutch. I need him every day. I realize my need for him. I realize that I've got to have him in my life every single day. And I don't want to live without him, as we already mentioned. So, I need him. We all need him. Matter of fact, there's a song that we sing. It says we need him more than the air that we breathe. Would you agree with that? If you stop being able to breathe, that's a problem. isn't it? But if you stop caring about Jesus, that's a bigger problem. Because we all know that this life is going to end at some point. But eternal life won't end. It's eternal. An heir isn't going to be a problem there. There's two choices. One is heaven and one is hell. In hell, the difference between heaven and hell is the lack of the presence of God. And I don't want to live that way. Matter of fact, I don't want to live that way here. Even though this isn't heaven, this is earth. But I think we can still practice the presence of God here on earth. Isn't that exciting? And so God is faithful and he's good. And we want to seek him and we want to know him. And he says here, he's teaching his disciples here. This is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And here again he says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. You want to be blessed? Recognize your need for him. And I believe that that is one thing that will cause God to bless you. And so we want to seek him on a daily basis. And he's in love with you. Are you in love with him?
Yes.
Praise God. Can you say like I say, I need him? I need him every day. And sometimes the attitudes of my heart aren't right. I say, oh Lord, correct this. Help me. I need him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. Is that the next one? Matthew 11, 5. All right, there we go. I want to kind of help us shift gears for a second, just a little bit. Jesus was asked by John the Baptist's disciples if he was the one. And this was the answer, or part of the answer that Jesus sent back. He said, the blind see and the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And look at this. And the good news, this is one of the signs of Messiah. And the good news is being preached to the poor. I like that. The good news is being preached to the poor. I celebrate today because we just celebrated Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We had nearly 100 kids in the building. Got to mingle with moms and dads just a little bit, saying hi and bye and glad your kids could come. And I loved it. It was wonderful. And we celebrate that we were able to teach those kids the Word of God, in particular about the armor of God, some of the Old Testament Bible stories to kind of help the kids to understand that God is able, right? I know they talked about David and Goliath, one of my all-time favorites for sure. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love that one as well. And another story about Paul, something that Paul did there in the New Testament in the book of Acts. And I celebrate that because what we were doing was we were preaching the good news to those who didn't know or may not know. But it's not over with, church, because there's still folks around us, around this property, around your property, all over the place, that are poor in spirit. They're poor and needy in their heart of hearts. They may drive a nicer car than you do. That's not what it's about. But they may not have Jesus in their heart. They may be lost. My prayer this morning is that the Lord gives us a heart and a burden for them. that God would help us and empower you and me to reach them with the gospel. Because it's the greatest story ever told. The gospel is. And I just find it interesting that that is one of the things that Jesus, when asked specifically, are you the Messiah? That was one of the key categories that needed to happen, that the Messiah would be involved in. But if we're his kids, what should we be involved in? The same thing, right? And I think that other stuff is just there to help them hear and listen to the gospel. The other stuff that he mentions earlier, the blind see. I believe that can happen today. Lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured. We don't really deal with that one much, but we could put something else in there, I'm sure. The deaf are able to hear. The dead are raised to life. And I think most importantly, the good news. Let the good news be preached through this church and through our lives, right? It's just, ministry doesn't just go on in this room or on this property. Ministry ought to be able to go on anywhere at any time. You agree with that? So let's look for those opportunities. I'm speaking to me on that one as well. Luke chapter 8, verse 23 and 25. As they sailed across the sea, Jesus settled down for a nap. You'll probably remember this account. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filled with water. And look at this. And they were in real danger. Right? The disciples were in there. Jesus was in there as well. He doesn't walk on the water. That's not this story. But he goes and he puts his head down. Listen, a couple Sundays ago, I went deep sea fishing in the Atlantic Ocean. And I don't know if this body of water was like that body of water, but there wasn't a whole lot of resting for me. Matter of fact, I was doing some of this. And that prevents you from resting, if you didn't know that. I still had a great time. Didn't care about much during that, but just wanted to get off that boat. So I don't know how Jesus was able to sleep on that boat. Maybe he thought it was rocking him or something. But it says they were in real danger. It was getting ugly. The wind and the waves were were beating against the boat, and they considered themselves, they considered this to be a problem. They were in trouble, in words that we're using this morning. Verse 24 on the next slide, the disciples went and woke Jesus up, shouting. It wasn't like, hey, it's time to get up. Jesus! Master! Hey, how are you able to sleep, first of all? But hey, can you do something about these waves? Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, this is who we're dealing with, church. This is who we deal with on Sundays and on Mondays and every day of the week. This is who we deal with, who we're talking to, who we have a relationship with. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped and all was calm. Can you picture it? You think you're about to drown. You're looking for something that you could hold on to in case the boat capsizes. And your buddy wakes Jesus up. We don't know how big the boat was, but one of your buddies wakes Jesus up, probably violently. Jesus! Help! And I think sometimes that's all the prayer needs to be. It doesn't have to be eloquent. Sometimes it's just help. Lord, I need your help. I don't know what to do. And in this account, Jesus wakes up realizes what's going on, and he speaks to the wind and the waves, and they instantly obeyed him. Imagine, it's dark out. Rain is coming down, the waves are crashing and going over and getting you wet. And then Jesus speaks to them and they just... Phew. That's who we serve. That's who we serve. Now I want to shift that just a little bit and relate it to the storm in us. Because guess what? Sometimes we get agitated, don't we? About various things. We don't want the storm to be in us. We want to give that to Jesus and allow him and give that to him and let him help calm that down in us. And he wants to do that by transforming us more and more into his likeness, for us to become more and more like him, right? And so in that regard, we're at times poor and needy, needing him to help us with wrong attitudes, wrong thought processes, things like that. And I believe that he wants to be there, and I believe that he will. We just need to call on him. The cool thing is, you don't have to wake God up anymore. Okay, Jesus was a man like we are, and so he needed rest and food and whatnot. But God, the Bible says that God doesn't sleep nor slumber, does he? And so we understand, we don't have to be like, oh, well, I'm not going to bother him. I think he just fell asleep. You don't have to worry about that. You can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Now, with that being said, we don't march into God's throne room and say, now here's what I need you to do. No. We're poor and needy, remember? He's the king. We're the poor and needy ones. You don't march in. You come with boldness and say, hey, I'm here because of the blood of Jesus. And today, Father, I need you to change my heart, change my mind, my attitudes. Would you move in this situation? God, these waves are accusations or whatever. Jesus, I give it to you. I give it to you. Help me. And so we want to focus on the Lord. We want to approach him. And then in the next verse, in verse 25, says, then he asked them, Jesus asked the disciples, he said, guys, where's your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Can you imagine the emotion? You're like, sweet. You're like, want to smile and say yippee, but also want to cry because you realize who you're standing near. And the awesome power that the Lord has. They were both terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other. We know today, don't we? Partly because of this. When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what has come against you. It may be the forces of darkness. You serve one who's much greater. I said much greater. They're not equals. They're not equals. The devil is not just the opposite of God. God is much more powerful. The enemy is powerful, but not compared to the Lord. Can I remind you, Jesus already won. Jesus already won. Hallelujah. He went to the cross to do it. But he won because he went to the grave, but he blew it up. And he came on out of there. Praise God. Aren't you thankful? Whatever you're facing, whatever the need is, whatever trouble you're in, maybe it's addiction. The Lord is enough. And then I want to share one. A couple of more verses here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, Paul writes, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? No. Does it mean that God no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It means we're going through something, doesn't it? And we're real quick to jump to those conclusions, though. Well, God doesn't love me because this is going on in my life. Wrong answer. He loves you like crazy because he proved it. He demonstrated it because he went to the cross. And he went through and he experienced what he experienced. He experienced pain, suffering, persecution, and ultimately death to prove his love for you. And to win you back, to buy you back. Tell me that isn't love. You can't. Because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. He loves us. Nothing can separate us from Christ's love. Not even trouble. Not even spiritual attacks. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Aren't you thankful? Let me read this final verse. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. This is after Jesus had been raised and then after the Holy Spirit filled the believers there in Jerusalem. And the disciples kept preaching the gospel. They kept preaching the good news and they were arrested for it. A few of them had been arrested. And here in Acts chapter 5, it says here, the apostles left the high council rejoicing. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. They had been told by the religious leaders after they were arrested, they were told not to preach in Jesus' name anymore. They continued to do so. They had to show some strength, and so they flogged them. And after that flogging, I would consider that trouble. Wouldn't you? Put in jail and then flogged, that's some trouble, wouldn't you say? But look at this. I'm sharing this verse with you simply for perspective for you and me today. For you and me, because I need it. The apostles left the high council, look at this, rejoicing. What? Because they were arrested and flogged? The apostles left the high council rejoicing. No, not because that happened exactly, but they were rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Oh, man. Doesn't that just mess up your whole world? And we fuss about, oh no, somebody doesn't like me. You hear what I'm saying? These guys just had been arrested and beaten. And they said, praise God. Lord, we rejoice. Thank you for allowing us to suffer for the name of Jesus. Thank you for letting us represent Jesus' name, even though it meant trouble. That kind of rattles my cage. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus, that I got put in jail and beaten. That was awesome. It wasn't that it was awesome. It was that they still got to represent Jesus. And they still got to preach the gospel. They knew that their lives were going to tell a story, didn't they? They knew that there was more than them. That everything, nothing revolved around them, that it revolved around Jesus. Emily, would you mind going to the piano as we get ready to conclude? I'm sorry, Charlie. She's right there. She's closer. I saw her first. This morning, I want us to, again, come to that realization that we're poor and needy. And back to the beatitude, God blesses those who are poor because they understand and realize, recognize their need for Him. And if that's you, I'm just going to invite you this morning. You can come to the altar. You can do it where you are. It's up to you. But as they get ready and play, I want us to just come to the Lord and say, God, here I am again. We already worshiped Him some, but in this moment, we're coming with these scriptures and understanding that, and we're coming and saying, God, help. I do need You. We're coming to that realization that, God, You're the one that I need, the only one, the only thing that I need is You. Some of that other stuff can just fall off and fade away, can't it? Or maybe there's been a storm in your heart. This is 2 days in a row. Somebody kill it, please. Stinking thing. Thank you. I appreciate your ministry. He said they follow sugar. That was sweet of him. But truly, can we focus on Jesus? Our need for Him today. Because I don't know about you, but I need Him. Every service, I need Him and I rely on Him. I say, God, I don't have anything to give Your people. It's the truth. But Lord, speak through me. So this altar time is a response time, is what it is. It's a let's apply the Word of God. Let's apply what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. And it could be one of many things. It could be just that we realize our need for Him. It could be the storm in us. It could be something that you're going through. Or also, Jesus, help me to reach those, who are poor and needy, who don't know You yet. I would love it if every one of us would pray that way as well this morning. And there's probably many, many others. And so as they lead, I want to invite you to approach the throne of grace with confidence this morning through the blood of Christ. And you can do that in the altars. You can do that where you are. And I just want to encourage you to press in for a moment and pursue the Lord. I need Him every day. Don't you? Father, thank You. Move on out. Let's approach the throne of grace. Let's run after Him. I'd like to make one other point. And that point is this, that, that song used the word Abba Father. That was a term, the way I understand it, that was a term of basically saying, as a little kid would look up to their daddy and say, Daddy. Romans talks about that in particular, Abba Father, that God is our Abba Father, that He has adopted us as sons and daughters. So if we look at it like that, we understand that God's the one who made each and every one of us. So in that regard, every one of us are His kids, whether we serve Him or not. We know that those who serve Him are His kids. Those who don't, they're just simply missing out. But here's the point I want to make. I'm not really trying to compare myself to God, but if my kids, you know, as a parent, you can tell when your kids are in trouble. If they cry out, help, Dad, guess what? I'm swooping in, and something's going to pay. You hear what I'm saying? And I just think that my Father, my Heavenly Father, is the same way. When His kids cry out to Him, don't you think that He's like, oh no, they didn't. Hey, better recognize. He's going to come and He's going to help. Now listen, He's not going to take every difficulty away. Some of those difficulties are supposed to be there to help us to get stronger. If you don't ever have any resistance, you're a weakling. Right? You're weak. If you don't ever have any resistance, you never build up any strength. And He wants us to be strong too. But our strength, guess what? Comes from Him. It's by handling things the way He would want us to. It's by serving Him. It's by recognizing that He is our strength. And so, just such an honor this morning to worship with you. Love preaching God's word. His word is awesome, and because He's awesome. So let's pray in conclusion, and then you'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for each and every one that's here today. Lord, would You minister and move in their life? Lord, I don't know exactly what's going on in their lives, but You do. And I ask You, Heavenly Father, to come to their rescue when they need it. I'm asking You to hear and listen to their prayers as I know You do. You're attentive to their cries and to their prayers. God, would You give them the desires of their hearts and help us to daily come to You, our strong tower, our refuge, our Lord and Savior. We give You praise today. We honor You. And we say thank You, God, for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so good to see each one of you.